Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour on this April the 28th on the West Coast, now April the 29th, 2009, on the East Coast. It's the 29th Coast, all right, and in the Central Time Zones. Wow, when your mouth and your mind are moving at different speeds. I don't know which is faster tonight, to tell you the truth. We've got a great show for you this evening. Before I introduce tonight's guest, I want to draw your attention to a few things that are new on the DirectLightProductions.com website. Of course, that's my website, which contains my journalistic pieces, a lot of news items, videos, music. There's some stuff on ufology there, some political stuff, animals, nature, health, and I added a page called Breaking Stories, which is a pretty simple, easy-to-use page. You go to that page and look at a list of what I feel are pertinent stories that are published across the Internet. They come from a variety of sources. Just click on the title, and it takes you right to the particular article. Pretty simple thing to do. When you get to that page, in case you decide you want to email that information to a friend or an enemy, all you have to do is copy the URL that's in your address window, and that will appear there correctly. Sometimes my website address, for some reason, moves along with the other one, but that seems to be happening less frequently. Anyway, it's a way for you to quickly peruse articles that might be out there, things that I think are important. And they may not be about the bird flu, or they may not be about Barack Obama, or they may not even be about financial corruption. For instance, there's a story there that I added a couple of days ago after one of my listeners to this show emailed me a link to a site which was referencing an event that occurred about 2 months after the false flag events that we broadcast on this show. I had a number of my guests very willingly discuss the issue of the planned bombing of 7 U.S. cities. And those broadcasts, which occurred here on BBS Radio and on Republic Broadcasting Network, were instrumental in thwarting those events. Now, we hear stories about the world finance, and of course, we have this pandemic paranoia that's being pushed full tilt by the mainstream media. And despite that, there was another attempt to introduce a nuclear weapon to the United States, let's say a rogue weapon. And a Russian ship got wind of the fact that a Chinese cargo ship was carrying a nuclear weapon destined for the port of Seattle, and they sank the ship. Now, I don't know if the bomb went off, but at least the Russians were looking out for us. It may have something to do with their particular interest in the economic situation here in the United States. So that's just one of the types of stories that you will see. And what is interesting about that particular story is the date that this occurred was around March 20th, and it wasn't really published anywhere until March the 23rd. March the 23rd is also the day that this pandemic supposedly started in Mexico, and then again it surfaced in the news in the last couple of days. Kind of interesting how there were two, possibly three events. The third I don't recall at the moment, but there were three instrumental events in the sudden push to again impose upon our sovereignty and enslave us into a new world order system. So we want to pay attention to these things and discern what is actually going on. Now, that said, it's time to invite tonight's guest. He, in his own right, is a radio talk show host, and he also hosts and co-produces a television show in New England. And he has been on Evident Footprints before. He hosts his own show, Uncensored Radio Free America, on Republic Broadcasting Network, Monday through Friday. And that show airs from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. And this gentleman has been in radio now for over 32 years, I understand. And in fact, it goes back all the way to 1976 when he began his career in radio. My good friend, Mr. Rick Adams. Rick, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Thank you very much, Don. Although I just have to correct one thing. It's no longer Uncensored Radio Free America, because of a problem we had with copyright, so it is now very simply Rick Adams Uncensored.
Oh, is it? Okay, I was unaware of that. Well, I have to make a correction then.
That's why it's that way on the website now.
Okay.
You'll find that's been changed to Rick Adams Uncensored. But thank you again, Don, for the invitation.
Oh, it's my pleasure to have you here. I've been an avid listener of your show for a number of years, as you well know, and I've even been a guest on your show. And
yes, frequently.
I appreciate your viewpoints in a variety of ways, actually. Not only are you up on the issues, but you see the bigger picture in terms of the spiritual aspects of what is going on. And I'm hoping that we can talk about a lot of those viewpoints that you have.
Yes, thank you.
Well,
don't mind me right now. I'm just choking on a piece of celery. So if I sound like I'm going to pass out, you know, don't worry.
Okay, and if you do pass out, do you want us to call 911 for you?
No, that's been done before. I've had the police visit me at 2 a.m. more than once.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll try to avoid that this evening. Or this
I'll be all right.
Okay. There's so much on our plates right now as broadcasters, as talk show hosts, and researchers and journalists. And you know yourself, it's happening at such a quick pace. It's very difficult to even keep up, you know, let alone discern what is actually going on. Do you find that to be the case?
What was that, Don?
I was saying, I was asking you if you found it to be the case that despite the amount of research that we do and with all the goings on around the world, it's difficult to keep up with what is actually occurring and you know, in the context of discerning what is going
on. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Very much so.
Now, are you still having trouble with that celery?
Yes, I am. Give me a moment.
Okay, I will.
Go ahead, you talk for a few moments.
Okay, I will. All right, the first topic that I would like to bring up, and this is a current event right now. We know that Dr. Orly Tates has filed a lawsuit, which is about to be heard by the Supreme Court. Last night, during my show, I received an email update from Dr. Tate regarding her standing with the Supreme Court. In fact, the Obama blogs are attacking her, saying that She may be licensed to practice law in the state of California, but she's not licensed by the bar. In other words, she cannot stand before the Supreme Court and present a case. And Dr. Tate actually sent me a copy of the letter from William Souter, who is the clerk of the Supreme Court, acknowledging that she is, in fact, a member of the bar and has a standing before the the Supreme Court. So that basically debunks that. Now, she has been doing similar research to mine through various people that are helping her. She's got a PI that she's hired to look up documents, and he has found the same obfuscation, the aliases, the real estate transactions. And when I say aliases, I don't just mean names he's using, but they're tied to actual corruption, financial corruption, and they've found that. So it's kind of interesting to see someone else come to the same conclusions that I came to. And I assumed on the basis of her challenge of either the lack or the fraudulent documentation that Obama presented or didn't present, that she would find it interesting that I had also done some research into the photographic history of the Obama and the Dunham clan. And those names, to me, now appear to be nothing but fictional names just to give the story a character and a flavor. I'm finding out that there are actually other ties to some very powerful families and corporations. What's your take from your perspective? And I know you haven't had a chance to read my latest article, but I know that this is pertinent information.
You're right. I have not had the opportunity to really read all of what you've written in the sixth part, Don. But I have no apprehension about the fact that this government in Washington is so corrupt, and people that have been sitting in the Oval Office for I don't know how many years have been handpicked, hand-selected people who have, in these particular cases, the last couple or three elections, cannot even provide proof that they are legal American citizens. And the fact that they can't, and that the courts have actually engaged in a collusion with them, I think really bespeaks of the nature of the crisis which we have faced in this country. And I dare say, as you know, and you, I'm sure, have proven, that most people are almost totally oblivious to these facts, Don.
Mm-hmm. And their usual response is, well, I haven't heard that on my favorite news program.
Right.
I haven't read about it in the papers.
Yes.
They don't talk about this on the radio, with exception, of course. I have a couple of people raise the issue. Bill Cunningham out of Cincinnati was talking about Obama's lack of documentation during the campaign. This is, prior to the election. He's a right-wing talk show host, very conservative.
Yeah, he was doing it in a very partisan way, but, as far as we're concerned, I think neither one of us has any partisan Democrat or Republican axe to grind.
No, we agree that it's two sides of the same coin, actually.
Right, exactly. Precisely.
And you brought up the issue of Arlen Specter switching to the Democratic side. Well, that would be purely to garner votes from someone that would welcome another power player in their party. It has nothing to do with whether or not he is the man for the people. It's the man for the party, and it's a matter of convenience.
Yes, that's it. Exactly.
So in terms of the mainstream media, they are also complicit in this as well, are they not?
Most particularly. Yeah, I think we can all agree on that they've done a pretty lousy job of covering these and other issues, ancillary issues, Don, relating to the Bush family right from the beginning. Bush and Cheney, very aloof, mysterious characters, particularly Cheney, Cheney had made the statement going back a number of years ago, where, and it wasn't that long ago, where, he said he fooled the people of his state Wyoming to get into office, and he's always been with the top elite Rockefeller controlled and Rothschild controlled Council on Foreign Relations. You know, then he turned around and says, "Of course, I never told the folk back home about that." You know. Because
yeah.
It wouldn't sell.
Yeah, isn't that a soundbite that you sometimes play on your show where he says...
No, I don't actually do that on my show, but it is played from time to time. Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's something to the order mm-hmm. of, it's so nice to be here this evening before the Council on Foreign Relations. And mm-hmm. as you mentioned, he fesses up to the fact that he never mentioned that.
Right. Right, and he's done that on occasions. He's a very, very arrogant, cocky man. He reminds me of General Swicker, going back to the McCarthy investigations of the State Department and the Army in that particular case, in 1954. Swicker was the same way. Try to get him to go before Congress and answer questions. Well, what arrogance is when you see these men. And Dick Cheney, you'll recall, actually used the F word before the Senate committee, the Leahy's committee, if you remember.
Yes.
Back a year or so ago when these questions came up, the questions about military involvement and torture and surveillance and secretive operations of the United States government, and he said blank off, in so many words. And I'm saying, can you imagine a sitting vice president like Dick Cheney getting away with that? I mean, I know we've been so demoralized and so moraled down, in our coarse language today, the way people speak and are used to seeing and hearing things on the media, but from the vice president of the United States in his office having such contempt and making it so obvious, and yet virtually nothing was said about it in the media, which proves something. It proves to me, among many other pieces of evidence, Don, that this guy and Bush and Obama and the rest of them, right or left, Democrat or Republican, are still very much protected by the media, as long as they play the game and as long as they walk the walk. That's the way I see it. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yes, it does. And I often allude to the fact that they are controlled, ultimately by the bankers and the international corporations that profit from war. And they're also bribed or blackmailed into the way they act.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
I'm sure you would agree with that. So
I do. They all have skeletons in their closets. That's the key.
Yeah. Now you bring up a very interesting point too, and I think it might be worth talking about this a bit
mm-hmm.
because we're led to believe that we elect our president. and the president appoints a person that would be suitable as a replacement. And yet, if you look at now Joe Biden or Dick Cheney or, my goodness, I have to think, Al Gore, I doubt that he was actually as effective as, let's say, Cheney or Biden's yet to prove himself, but he's obviously running the show in certain respects, especially the relations that the United States has secretly with the Israeli component to control the Congress and the Senate through bribery and extortion and all the various means. But you
That's
can go
it.
Back even to Kennedy. Here you had Johnson, who wanted to be that figurehead that actually controlled the government from behind, and he was instrumental in the assassination of Kennedy. You had Gerald Ford, who was known to be a pedophile and a pornographer. And it goes on and on. Of course, in the Reagan days, it was George H.W. Bush behind the scenes. Setting up this current scheme of let's say embezzlement of public funds, and he was traveling around the globe setting up this network that they're now using.
Yes,
and Clinton had the same thing going on himself. So they never really stepped back from this. Now
no.
it introduces other elements. For instance, I see a Chicago connection there, and the power players like Sidley Austin, and then here comes Obama out of Sidley Austin again. So you have this corrupt law firm involved in these tontine scams of killing people on airplanes and people who are insured in general, even on 9/11. It's just every aspect of financial corruption you can imagine, all networked together.
Absolutely.
Like a black widow's web. So is the president really the most important person, or is it the vice president, do you think?
Well, you know, neither one of them really are all that relevant. In the case of Cheney, you know, as you were pointing out, the Israeli connection with Cheney's direct tie into Netanyahu, who is now the head honcho, prime minister in Israel, who's always wanted to come back to power and be the, you know, the usherer in of the New World Order. Cheney was dancing to his tune. Cheney was working with him directly, and so was Bush himself. Although Bush does not have the intellect or the understanding that it takes to be able to perform, even, as you know, on camera when 9/11 was perpetrated. I mean, it was an embarrassment to watch it. And you saw what happened when this episode took place of planes reportedly flying into these Twin Towers. And then Bush being caught with his pants down, almost, when reading the book in the public school classroom upside down.
My pet goat.
What could have been more obvious than that, Don?
Yeah.
You know, red lights went off in my head right away. And, you know, I'm saying to him, I wasn't even on the radio at that particular time. And I was just saying, hey, this is so staged, it isn't even funny. It is so obvious to anyone who's ever done any thinking of his own.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these guys were acting on cue. And the same is true of somebody like Biden now, whoever it might be that's vice president for the president. They're both figureheads. They both know that the people that surround them are going to basically take care of them, going to lead them around, the CFR types, the fronters, you know, the Trilats, the Brzezinskis, the Kissingers, the same cast of criminals will be in control, no matter who is sitting in those offices, you see?
Yeah, now, you know what, you're bringing up this point about Bush being in this Florida classroom, and were intentionally showing these shots of these kids reading out of this book while all of this was going on in New York City, in Washington, and Shanksville, Pennsylvania, whatever occurred there. It's just insane how they the media chose to show those images of those children, exploit those children in that way, and it was so surreal. It had nothing to do with what was going on. My God, if what they said was true, our country was under attack, and they decided to show the president holding a book upside down.
That was part of the stage.
If you recall how the kids were reading, they were tapping on their desks as to meter the reading. I mean, I've never seen that done, and I'm a musician, and I've never seen people. I've never seen that before. That's an interesting technique. I suppose that's preparation for working at McDonald's.
And then when you saw the expression on George's face, do you remember what it was when William Card come up to him Andrew Codd came up to him and told him, "Mr. President, we're under attack."
Yes, it sort of looked like he got his hand caught in the cookie jar, or someone told him that his fly was down.
Yes.
And don't reach for it because the camera's pointed right at your crotch.
And they were probably both true.
Yeah. It was beyond bewildered. It was as though this reality or the realization that he was not the person he thought he was, not in control, not the leader of this country, that someone else obviously demonstrated they were in control, and he looked helpless.
And that was them. I believe it was the Mossad, CIA complex, the group that runs the governments of the world. And we saw what happened to John F. Kennedy. And when he decided to buck the power base, and what happened to Richard Nixon in a less dramatic way. And, these people are cannon fodder. They're used and then just totally thrown out like a wet towel. It is amazing how they can be brought down. And as you have shown, and others of us have shown in radio, it could not be. It could not happen unless for the media control. And as you said, the complicity, the actual partaking of their evil deeds has to be with the consent of the major media, which can be and are definitely organized to be controlled in a certain way. You know, and we say this to people, Don, and they, oh, come on, do you believe that all these television anchors are just bought and paid for, and these reporters just sit there and they do as they're told? And let me tell you, I've been in the media, I've been in the news end of it locally at local stations, and I could tell you what I did not have to be told. And that's on a local, small level.
Mm-hmm.
I would just get some very, very strong insinuations and otherwise looks and directives that were not even written in stone that I understood there were certain things we didn't want going on.
Mm-hmm.
On a very small level, Don. A very elemental local level. Now, I know that when you've got news anchors who are pretty faces and people who are very, photogenic, the Brian Williams types, the Pete Williams, at the time the Dan Rathers, the Katie Couric's, and, the Chuck Gibsons, people like that on the major over-the-air networks, that they know all too well there's a boundary line that they don't cross over. They just don't do it. And when a guy who I've had interviewed over the, I don't know how many years ago it was, but he was a guy named Gordon Thomas. I don't know if you've heard of him or not.
Yes, I have, actually.
Gordon? What do you think of him? But, I've actually known him. When he comes along and makes a statement that he was in touch with Don Hewitt of 60 Minutes about the Cheney and Rumsfeld role in liquidating some scientists at the CIA, and Hewitt said, you're probably right. You're onto something, but it's too big. We can't touch it. What does that tell you about the media?
Well, yeah. Now Hewitt I think he's retired now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, at the time, though, this goes back a number of years ago. Well, not that long, actually. It was within the last 6 years, so four or five, six.
Yeah, what I'm reminded of there is William Paley, who himself was involved in the Kennedy assassination.
Now, that I did not know.
Yeah, there's a strong connection there to all the people in Dallas. Oh, yes, definitely. William Paley was a Zionist. And
I knew that, yeah.
And so as all the main media types.
Yeah, the Sarnoff family and so forth.
Yeah.
So Hindenburg.
Now Hewitt, I always saw as someone, possibly a bit more independent, but ultimately these networks are controlled and dictated to by the intelligence agencies and
just a handful of families, that's it.
Yeah, and the international banksters. Rick, we have a call, if you would like to take
a
call. We have Ron from Pennsylvania on the line. Ron, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Hey, Ron.
Yeah, how you guys doing this evening?
Good, Ron. Thank you. I got the email. Thank you for sending that.
Oh, yeah. I have a few more goodies here from time to time that I will forward.
Good for you.
I need to mention a couple of things. I need to ask a couple of questions. Something came to mind when we were talking a couple of minutes ago. The profane tirade there of Vice President Cheney, he has a propensity for that because he just has that kind of personality. But there was an Alex Jones tirade that I did see that on film. Alex went berserk. And I think I would have asked the two gentlemen a question if they've ever heard of the old saying that profanity is the effort of a feeble mind to express itself forcefully. Probably they're not aware of that saying. But if, say, let's assume some calamity prevails to this fake president.
Okay, Ron,
yes.
We're back. We got disconnected. So.
Oh, we did.
Can we hear Ron now?
Yeah. Am I coming in?
I can hear you.
Yes, you are. Yeah. Okay, we apologize, folks. Technical difficulties, we're back.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Your question.
Yes, I can hear you.
I'll start off again. With the profanity uttered by Vice President Cheney and the tirade that I did see on film by Alex Jones, I think I would have asked them each if they had heard the old saying that profanity is the effort of a feeble mind to express itself forcefully. Apparently they haven't. But let's assume some calamity would prevail, a billion-to-one shot of the so-called president and this joke of a vice president we have, and let's assume Nancy Pelosi all of a sudden falls over dead. That leaves the president pro tempore of the Senate, assuming the role of the presidency of the United States. I don't know who is the president pro tempore of the Senate. That's the fourth person in progression.
Rick, do you have that?
I don't have the name right now. I'm trying to think who it would be. That's a good question, though. We can look it up right now on the net if we have to.
Well, I didn't. I just thought maybe you'd know it off the top of your hat.
No, I despise them so much, Ron, as you know. I often just try to ignore them and not even think of them. So it is a moment of lapse here. For me, I'd have to think about that a few
times.
But we know that Hillary Clinton, now Secretary of State, would be in line, wouldn't she?
Not in the fourth progression, she wouldn't. She may be fifth or later, but I don't know. I'm going to have to check that out myself.
The order of succession to the president. Yes.
Yeah,
yes, she would be.
Hillary would love to assume that position. And
well, that's I think why she's there.
Well, yeah, I would say she's there because of the ongoing financial corruption, in which the Clintons were and still are highly involved.
Oh, yes.
In fact, that has everything, not that I want to change the subject, but it has everything to do with this sudden rash of interest the media has in this bird flu / swine flu pandemic that they're trying to push upon the public now.
Mm-hmm.
That occurred back, as I mentioned at the top of the show, March 23rd. These people contracted this disease, and the media comes out a couple of days ago and says that these people in New York, for example, are getting well, that they contracted a milder form of the disease. Now, on what basis do these people come to these conclusions? What are they using as a benchmark? Well, they're told what to say. This my take is that this is propaganda, but I mention that because it's designed to obfuscate what is going on with this embezzlement of trillions and trillions of dollars. And there's a Chinese element that is coming out, and there have been numerous recent trips by
yes.
the players in this to China to negotiate some sort of a settlement to buy time to create the pretense of bailout money to kickstart all these investments that have basically been nothing but corruption designed to steal money from everyone, including these foreign countries. These people are pretty upset about it. So you know, it's all tied together, and Hillary plays just as much a role in this as well as many in the Senate. They're aware of this. You can't imagine that these emails are being sent to everyone in the media, the Congress and the Senate, and the presidency, right to the White House, and that they ignore it as if it's not occurring. This,
right.
They're reminded of this constantly. And I've seen the copies, and you probably have too.
Oh, yes. No doubt about that.
So that's the role Hillary's playing, Ron.
I have one other question, then I'll depart. It was during Bush's administration, and I'm not too sure if it was not too long after 9/11 took place, as the president got out of the Air Force One helicopter, whatever it was, and a group of people assembled on a small mountain. It looked like a golf course. Now, I didn't watch TV much back then. There were six or eight people, and the press was there and all this kind of thing. Well, the group moved to its right 20, 30 feet and assembled for another picture and all that. There was a woman that was dressed in a light-colored, full-length kind of a dress, neatly dressed, I think long blonde hair, and this woman moved with the group. Well, I didn't know who that was. Well, the group moved again. The woman moved with them. Have you ever heard that that woman was a man?
I haven't. Have you?
No, I haven't.
Been a man, and that was supposed to have been Georgie's companion for various jaunts that he made throughout his presidency. And somebody pointed that out to me, and when they did that, something clicked in my mind. I was never able to follow up on that. Maybe that's something with your investigative abilities that you may run across something on that. I don't know.
Are you referring to Jeff Gannon as his companion?
A woman, I didn't get the name. But
Jeff Gannon.
Paul, taller than him.
Yeah, in other words, I mean, if it's someone who looks like a woman, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a woman.
Bush is one of his boyfriends.
Yeah, he would be Johnny Gosch from the Franklin cover-up, abducted at age 12 and then made an honorary press agent or journalist who was always given some token questions to ask the president during press conferences.
I had that book, The Franklin Cover-Up, and on a prior program a few years ago, there was a senator, I can't remember his name, that was active in that uncovering of that, him and another fella. And they were supposed to, and finally did make a film that was aired on the Discovery Channel of the fellow that was abducted or involved with that. Well, I knew of a man, he died about 10 years ago. And this guy would have been born around the early part of the 20th century. I happen to know the guy real well. He's very brilliant electrically, but he was also a career criminal. And he decided to take a life of burglary as a crime. Well, back in the 20s or 30s, he was locked up in a juvenile facility, his juvenile defender, somewhere down in Maryland. I think it was something like the St. Mary School for Boys or something like that. Well, he escaped. And what he did is went into town, he blew the whistle on what was going on in there, something that was going on nationwide for many, many years, it's never revealed. Whenever new inmates, juveniles would come in, fact, there was a movie about this, loosely based on this on television, the priest would be called in from far and wide to partake of the new novel entrance into the boys' school. Well, this went on for some time, and he escaped, he blew the whistle, and the people were kind of suspicious of stuff. Well, as he convinced them of the depravity that was going on in this big boys' school with the priest, those people were going to go over those walls with pitchforks and torches and kill those priests. But the authorities got wind of it and intervened, and they went in and broke the place up, and the priest scattered far and wide. But one of the biggest rings in that, and I don't think Father Flanagan really ever knew about it, with Boystown, Nebraska. Have you ever heard that?
Oh, yes, I have.
Yes, personally, I have worked with Tony Butala of the Letterman, and he related stories to me. He was one of the original Mitchell Choir boys there at Boystown. Boystown is at the center of the Franklin cover-up, actually.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think you were referring to Congressman John DeCamp, who exposed
right.
that and produced the film conspiracy of silence.
Yeah. I don't think we have any scratching the surface depth of the actual
going on today. This thing is so big.
We don't know.
You wouldn't even be able, I don't think our minds could actually hold it. If we're ready to accept it, how vast this network is. And, you know, Ted Gunderson has talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
To protect our minds, they just shut it off. They just turn you right off and turn away. That's the defense mechanism. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, you know, these are just components of this whole thing. It serves to blackmail or extort certain responses and behavior patterns,
right.
You know, it gets the vote. It's maybe a less expensive way to lobby, you know.
Well, that's how they get dirt on all those guys down there, and either blackmail them or have dirt on them. That's how they control Washington.
Yes. We're all in agreement with that.
I think the only decent people are in the single-digit percentiles in this country, and that might be a high estimate. Oh,
yeah.
Well, gentlemen, thank you, and take care.
Thank you.
Good to hear your voice again.
Thank you, Rod. Now, you know, we have recent versions of that story, too, you know, with Barney Frank, and we had this D.C. madam who, didn't she commit suicide, too? She was about to disclose the names in her little black book.
Mm-hmm.
Of the,
I think you're right.
Yeah,
the memory serves correct. That's true.
Yeah, and so I guess it doesn't matter if you're a DC madam or you're running Fannie Mae. Those are jobs that cause one to commit suicide.
Allegedly, yes.
Well, yeah.
Everything is a suicide now, you know. Even heart attacks can be suicide.
Oh, yeah.
You know, bring it on, right? He's bringing on a heart attack just so he can. So he can die and not be held accountable.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we have the ones that have committed these humongous frauds, these gargantuan frauds in the banks, Silverado Savings, and on and on and on, and they get away with this. Kenneth Lay, you know, the word is, even though they said, oh, he died in prison, he's probably sitting on a cushy island somewhere, sipping on pina coladas, and you know, they, as long as he kept his mouth shut during whatever hearings were held, mm-hmm. you know, they gave him an out.
And then look at the names: John McCain. Doesn't that ring a bell? In the 1980s,
mm-hmm.
big time swindler.
Yeah,
big time swindler and crook and. Tied in with the, you know, the Marley group there. The again, we're going into the big you know, Jewish distilleries and wineries and mob connections there, you know, to Israel, directly to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see why they mouth the line, they parrot the line. Guys like John McCain, Kemper Marley, good example. The wife that he married. His, what, third or fourth wife? How many is it? I don't even know at this point. But, you know, married into wealth again, into mob connections, very powerful people. And what do we think the SNLs were? The savings and loans and that bailout. Who was there? John McCain was there. How did he get to be a candidate for president?
Well,
how did Obama just get... all of a sudden lifted out of irrelevancy and almost, non-existent status to be propelled to the White House?
Well, that question could be answered by the Rockefellers, couldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. And in your series that you're dealing with here, I see now that, you know, all of that is making sense.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is adding up. The Three Stooges go to Washington,
yes.
Part 6.
that's true. Now, speaking of that, you know, there are some facts that came my way, including photographs. In fact, the photographs, when real, reveal quite a bit of information in and of themselves. And I was fortunate even to be able to identify another person in a photograph who was identified, it's in a prior version of the series, where I show a picture of Madeline Lee Payne Dunham and Stanley Armour Dunham sitting with four other CIA agents, and they're supposed to have been in the U.S. Army and working at Boeing, yet the picture was taken in a restaurant in Oklahoma City. And you can pretty much tell that everybody's pretty wasted by the number of beverages sitting on their table.
Yes.
And the photograph was forwarded to me by someone who went to school with Stanley Ann Dunham and professed that he had a crush on her, although she was about a year older or 18 months older than him. She was in his kindergarten and first grade class in War Acres, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
I find that extremely interesting because there's no mention whatsoever in the background of the Dunhams, the grandparents and the mother, the so-called mother of Barack Obama, and yet there is a very strong indication and evidence that the Dunhams were working for John D. Rockefeller's Standard Oil Company way back then. So the story that we've been told by Obama and by his handlers and those that write his biographies is total poppycock. There's no truth to it at all. And it was my underlying conviction that was the case, and eventually that information came my way, and I published it. And
right,
it has
right.
not been disputed. It cannot be disputed because it would draw attention to the truth. And, of course, they don't want that to happen.
No. They don't want to have to answer anything. That's why they ignore it, you know? Like when Eisenhower ignored Robert Welch's book, The Politician, when that came out. You may recall.
Yes.
The founder of the Birch Society.
Yes.
And he did write a good book, whatever else you might think of him. You know, and he did talk about Eisenhower and his treachery and World War II particularly, and how he became president and the deceptions, the chicanery that brought about it. He said, well, he wasn't going to deal with that. Why?
Yes.
Oh, no, he wouldn't dare want to deal with the truth because then he'd have to answer questions.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of questions, I think we may have one from another caller if you'd like
good.
To take a call. Leo from Massachusetts. Leo, welcome to Evident Footprints. How are you?
Hi. I'm having a general problem here because, I think the choir doesn't know how to sing. And the case in point is that I happened to be at a place where there were these young 25, about 10 or so, plus 20 to 35-year-old average upper middle class white people helping out at a social service event. And so I decided to do a little market research, and I went up to them and said, how many of you people here have heard about the live Baxter flu release that ended up killing the ferrets over in Czechoslovakia because they put live? And I got 1 out of 10 showed me his PDF. He said, oh yeah, I saw this on Bloomberg, and I said to myself, boy, that's pathetic, 1 out of 10, but that was not the worst part. The worst part was that the rest of them weren't inquisitive. Nobody asked, oh, gee, what did you hear? I couldn't stir up any kind of interest. I mean, I was horrified when I thought about it.
Well, do you want to comment? Is that a question or just a comment?
I mean, the thing is this, how do you deal with the public that's mind is mushed or in denial? And just, I post something provocative that actually happened, and then this guy verifies that, yes, he did see the article, and they're like, is it denial or are they just purposely oblivious or... It's horrifying.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Rick, do you want to comment on that?
Yes. Hi, Leo. Well,
hi.
I get those comments almost all the time now. In the last few weeks, I've had three different people tell me that about, trying to get across to people what's going on. And it's like hitting your head up against a stone wall. Isn't that what it's like, Leo?
Well, it's basically that, I think that so many of the people have been brainwashed into this comfort zone. And when you're selling a discomfort zone, they turn you off in denial. I mean, I think that's as close as I can come to it, and it's just horrifying.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, but I find that spiritually people are not even prepared to know the truth. And you have to be in the position, I think, where, thank goodness, I have been, given some light that I could understand these things, and yet others can't. Others look at me in a state of bewilderment, the people we know on a regular basis. And I say, I don't expect you to understand it because it's a spiritual truth. And only a spiritual truth can be communicated by a spiritual source, So that the world is in darkness, like Jesus said, the whole world is deceived, lied to. Mm-hmm. I think we can all agree on that on this program, can't we?
Sure. People are, and Leo, you hit the nail right on the head when you said brainwashed. That's the purpose of propaganda, and that's the purpose of repeating a message. Even if it's a lie, you repeat it enough, and they admit this on their own, that it becomes believed.
The propaganda message?
Pardon me?
Isn't that called catapulting the propaganda?
Well, yeah. I mean, propaganda is propaganda, whether it's catapulted or not. What it does to an individual, and this is metaphysical in a sense, is it lowers their vibration. Mm. You feed someone the wrong kind of food, and you cause them to become sick. You feed them the wrong kind of information, and they become dysfunctional and irresponsible and apathetic. They are.
If nobody had heard about it, and it wasn't verified by the one person who spoke up and said, "Oh yeah, I saw about this," and then not to have any further interest in it, it felt like nobody knew, and I couldn't prove it. That would have been easier almost. Then I could have accepted the denial. But, the guy showed up and said, oh, yeah, one person knew about it and showed it on his PDA. And that's where I just drew the line and went berserk in rage that to myself. I mean, I didn't do anything to appear stupid to them.
Yeah. Why not ask them the question, Leo? Maybe this is a new topic. Maybe you haven't heard about this. How would you feel if you found out that this was true and it really happened? Would you be willing to take action? Because you have to ask yourself why this happened. What's the purpose for this happening? And if it did happen, can it happen again? And if it can happen again, can it happen to us? Now, if they're still non-responsive, then don't be surprised that the choir can't sing. You got the wrong people in the choir. People.
Not really. No. You have the right people in the choir. The choir can't sing to the parishioners because the parishioners are tone deaf or not interested or any number of excuses. I mean, you spoke about it in a very eloquent way, but if I have to preface it with that whole paragraph, I mean, my God, how far have we sunk?
Well, it is the reality. You have to preface it. you're looking for a magic word or a magic, and I mean, don't take this the wrong way. I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying.
No. I understand that. But what I'm trying to say is I was just doing market research on the penetration, and we're just not getting the market penetration is what I'm saying.
Well, we have a controlled media, okay? And these people have been induced to watch meaningless TV shows. They call them reality shows. They mean nothing. Watching people dance and quite incompetently, instead of showing a ballet, for instance, I mean, why not watch old films of Baryshnikov?
Those shows The only ones I really quibble with are the Lost and all this stuff where they're playing their little social games of who's cool and who's not cool and who should we get rid of. And you know, those are the really obnoxious, nasty ones. I mean, Dancing with the Stars, I don't know, that's kind of okay, you know, I don't know. It's not the same thing. It's not this social, Darwinistic, who's coolest enough that I want to be with and let's dump whoever doesn't make it, you know. I mean, those are the ones that are the real ugly ones.
Well, okay, let's take, are you smarter than a fifth grader or a third grader? I mean, you know, those TV shows push the envelope of stupidity, and yet, what do? We laugh. People watch babies falling out of high chairs on America's Funniest Home Videos, and you've got an audience full of adults laughing about it as if it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, yeah. That's the depravity of society being magnified and promoted as if that's who we are. And
hey,
and they
remember
create
the Roman Colosseum, you know, the Colosseum.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
That's where we're going.
Well, we used to have a Whole Foods store before it became Whole Foods out of the giant corporation. They were known as Bread and Circuses, which I thought was pretty good.
Yes, yes. We have them, actually, where I come from, yes.
What, the Bread and Circuses?
Yes, definitely. Surely.
Oh, they still have the store name?
I believe, well, I put it this way, the last that I knew they did, but it's been probably
no,
a year since
they changed
gone
over.
By.
They're now part of Whole Foods.
Uh-huh.
The big
yeah, I think that's Bourbon. Also part of the U.S. Treasury now, too. So.
Oh, my.
I had
well, he brings up some very valid points. And,
yes.
You know, and that's very very good that you do bring them up because it shows you are one of the few questioning, thinking people left.
Yes. Leo, if I can make a comment here. A couple of weeks ago, I had Dr. Christopher Holmes on the show, and and he worked with prisoners in the Canadian prison system for some 12 years. He's been a psychologist for over 30 years, and he describes what we're witnessing occurring in our government, in politics, in the banking industry, in business, in the health field, virtually every aspect of our lives as psychopathy. And he describes those that run it as psychopaths.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now,
I thought they were called sociopaths.
Well, that's another quality that they bring to
the
table.
Is that a nicer term?
it maybe describes them slightly differently, but a psychopath basically is the most arrogant and above the law and above any spiritual principles or morals. Okay, they're without those things that we're supposed to have as good citizens. And and I brought up this issue with him that there's a point where one must question if in a free will universe if it's our right to bring these people out of their slumber, to awaken them to these things. Well, he feels, and I agree to an extent, that we do have a duty to bring this information forward, to share people, because they've not been getting the proper education, and they've not been told the true history of the planet as long as it's been recorded. We've been lied to about everything.
With your wordage only implies that I think you really mean necrosis.
Well, no, not at all. That's not what I'm saying. I mean,
it's a mental necrosis.
Well, we can deal with semantics as to what the words mean. Ultimately, they're doing something which is to the detriment of the majority of society for their own gains. Okay? And they're doing it in concert, in a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? And it's not a theory. And here's a man who studies human behavior, flat out saying that these are psychopaths. And I agree. I've said that as far back as 3 years ago on the radio. And I've heard many others describe them the same way, including tonight's guest. Am I mistaken in that, Mr.
No,
Mr.
No,
Rick?
You're right.
Yeah. So
I've only heard it as sociopath. I think the only difference between a sociopath and a psychopath is a matter of degree.
Well, it could be. You could look at it that way, too. But there's no question they are demented and evil. I think they're just evil people, criminal mind, what we're talking about.
It's beyond that, because the narcissism necessary is so perpetrated in general that that's the underlying feature. Once you get past the narcissism, you can start seeing the whole game.
All right.
Yeah, okay. Well, Leo, I don't know if you're trying to solicit a response or a solution from us. I think one thing that you might try to do is engage these people in a conversation on a personal level. Ask them how they would feel if someone broke into their house in the middle of the night while they were sleeping with the intention of killing all the members of their family, stealing everything that you own. And you have the choice of defending your family, defending your property, or just allowing them to do it. What path would they choose?
So you're saying don't be facing with the real horror that and asking the question, like, why aren't you interested in Baxter sending out real live bird flu? Why is this a non-topic?
First of all, they don't know who Baxter is. They don't know what the bird flu is other than what they hear from the media, and we've already determined that that's propaganda. You've got to engage them in coming to a realization of, as to how these problems will affect them in some way. So ask them that rhetorical question. Now, any sane person is going to say, well, of course I'm going to defend my family and defend my property. Okay. Well, you have people running the government that have done exactly that and have the intention of doing that further to you. Why are you doing nothing about it? Why aren't you defending them now? Why are you disinterested in that? Okay? Now, those two questions open up the opportunity. And if they're not listening to you, they show no interest, the eyes get glassy, consider it that the fluorides are kicking in and they're still drinking the tap water.
Well, I think if I do more market research like that, I'm going to actually just step right up to them and say, you don't care about live bird flu being sent just because it goes to another country? You don't think it's going to affect you someday? I mean, that's what I'm going to end up doing.
Yeah, I don't know. Rick, how would you approach someone like that? And I'm just giving an example. You know, this is not the only thing that you can present to someone. But
you mean the sociopath or psychopath?
I'm talking about, you know, I think Leo is, you know, he sees this issue of people being, you know, like the walking dead. I mean, he refers to a necrosis, but those people wouldn't even be walking. So.
I would say just kick the dust off your heels, as they say in the scriptures, and move on to somebody that might want to listen. You know, and you depends on your circle of friends and where you habitate as well, and who you mingle in with. But I know that I meet people here and there, and you know, you usually meet them in places where they're sitting down. Coffee shops and restaurants and places where they're willing to maybe listen or talk. I know what they're going to talk about. You try to divert them into something a little bit more intelligent, you know, a little bit more intellectual, rather than, you know, the color of the uniforms of the Red Sox during the opening season, you know. So, that's the thing. I think that people are so conditioned to fear the idea of saying anything that might be controversial or politically incorrect, that they automatically find their refuge in the usual topics, the weather and sports.
Yes, yes. And it's always, how is the weather? or just complaining about it.
Well, I've been able to tell them lousy over the last several months.
Yeah.
I have a... a good version of that for myself when people ask me the standard form letter question when I'm at a checkout counter, and they say, how are you? And my answer generally tends to be, still vertical.
Yeah.
And then I go on to explain there are three positions, vertical, horizontal, and 6 feet under. And that usually gets a good laugh.
Well, I always tell them, I say, I'll let you know after the post-mortem. That's what I tell people, Leo.
Well, you know, Rick brought up a good point, Leo. And I think, you know, if you went into the Bible and read the parable of the sower and casting the seeds on fertile ground, I think, you know, if we're going to awaken someone, you've got to have that fertile ground upon which to cast those seeds, those kernels of wisdom that you want to share with them. And, you know, there's the scripture that deals with making a silk purse out of a sow's ear. It's the same thing. You can't make someone who is really disinterested and not even capable of becoming interested able to understand some of the things that you're talking about. Your best bet is to strike up that conversation with that 10% of that group that you mentioned, and reach out, expand outward from that perspective. The others are going to do what they choose to do anyway, and often they're not even making the choices. They're allowing others to make the choices for them, and they're perfectly comfortable with that. That's why they're called the sheeple.
That's right. Well, thanks for calling in there, Leo. I feel like I'm doing my show now.
Yeah, Leo, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm here. Yeah, I listen to you, Rick, on Republic. And
yes.
Sometimes here, Don, I hear you come on with the Greg Emerson show on Saturday. Are you coming on again for him?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to be on his show on the 9th, and I'm going to be on Michael Herzog's show on Liberty News Radio this Thursday. Late.
This Thursday?
Yes, I'm going to be on Michael's show.
Tell Mike Powers I said hi.
yeah. I will if I talk to him. I don't
know
if I will.
Yes. Well, that's interesting. You see, the word is getting out here, and to those that have ears and eyes, you know, that want the truth, they'll get it. They'll get the truth.
Yes.
They know there's something wrong beyond the normal, I would say the normal purview of things. They suspect it's deeper than we're being told by the media talking heads. And I think that people realize it's a bunch of baloney they're getting every day. Sunday news shows, I never watch them. These 60-minute, these programs and stuff, I don't pay attention to that. Because I read, you know, like you, Don, and research. And get into factual things rather than superfluous programming. And that's why the people don't get the truth if they watch them. You see, Leo?
60 Minutes recently had Wesley Stahl asking Dianne Feinstein if they were going to go after the guns, and it seemed like Dianne Feinstein basically said, well, we're not going to do that now. We're not going to go after that now. And they seem like they want to let it quiet down a bit, and hopefully they can, you know, catch us when we're asleep.
Mm-hmm. And and in your mind should probably have been the question, what provoked Leslie Stahl to ask that question? Who told her to ask that question?
Oh, she's a CFR person.
Well,
yeah. She's a Bilderberger, too.
Well, and then they still have Andrea Mitchell, who is Alan Greenspan's wife, on MSNBC giving financial news. You want to talk about the pot calling the kettle black there. One of the most corrupt people on the earth has his wife giving out mainstream news. I mean, it's, you know, this is so perverted and so corrupt from one end to the other.
Well, and you know, look who started it off, John Maynard Keynes. Look what a sleazeball he was.
Yes, he liked his children too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Leo,
he was a child molester.
I want to thank you for calling in. Hope we answered some of your questions. Anyway, glad you're listening. You could tell more people to listen to these shows too,
mm-hmm.
and that's a way to break that in. You don't have to do the talking. Allow us and our guests to do that for you.
And we can do it. Thank you. Hey, okay. Good night, Leo. Good day, Leo. You take care.
Good day.
Now.
Okay, right. Hey, catch you later.
Take care, Leo. All right, Rick. Well, you see, and that's a recurring point. Now, I want to bring up something that I actually heard on your show last night. Dr. K was filling in for you, mm-hmm. hosting your show. And there was a caller that made a blanket comment about who was behind 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually tried calling into the show, but no one was answering. So I presume the lines were loaded. But I wanted to respond to something that this individual said. Because people in the Patriot Movement have a habit of lumping everyone together. Now, that's assuming that this is a genuine person, because they put out disinformation about a variety of researchers and journalists, all lumped into the same comment. And the comment was sort of, I hate to break the news to so-and-so and so-and-so, and they went down the list, including me, in that. Now, I've never said the Nazis are behind 9/11. I've never made a statement, but I've written about Nazis, and I've written about the Nazi movement, which is alive and well. If all anyone has to do is Google the Dachau DVD, and you'll see that there's an ongoing history, that which was written about in the Madrid Circular in the early 1950s. We have this British Israelism. You and I have talked about this on your show, and I've talked about this on other shows, which is the politicization, that's a difficult word at this time of the evening or morning, of religion, and the coupling of religion and politics together to identify a nation as a religious organization and then be under the control of the state and then pervert the religion by creating laws determining what will be tolerated within the religion. And that's really what's going on with the boogeyman of the Soviet Union or the communist Chinese. I see England right now as a communist state. It's every bit, if not more, oppressive than the Soviet Union ever was, with the cameras that they have all over the place and the total loss of freedom of speech. And those people don't really even understand what's happened to them, much like here in America.
Mm-hmm.
And they're starting to do the same things here in America. So for someone to take a piece that I've written, which is really debunking history, say the piece I did on the Bush Scherf family. I say Bush Scherf, meaning I expose the fact that the real name was Scherf. To say that those were the people responsible for 9/11 is a bit disingenuous, because I did not name them.
I didn't hear that call, so I don't know what it was. But,
yeah,
you know, we've got some people who are sincere and others who are not. You know, we know the not so sincere types. We hear them. We hear them call Republic all the time. My network and. We hear them try to sow disinformation and sow enmity between one program and another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a Dave from Massachusetts type, those types of people who know what they're doing, and they do it rather vociferously and consistently.
Mm-hmm.
But it's obvious to me, and I think it becomes obvious to you, that they're plants, basically. They're working for the enemy.
Yeah. And
no doubt about it.
Yeah, and you see that these people put out disinformation, and because they hear this on your show, they think that this is valid information that's coming out.
Mm.
Now, they may disagree with what I say or another caller says,
yeah,
and they're entitled to disagree.
But that's the same thing with any program. You know, people say, well, I heard this on Rick Adams' show, and they're spelling misinformation, and they're spreading it and so forth. I bring on people that, on any given number of subjects, are not going to see eye to eye with me, or I'm not going to see eye to eye with them. That's not the point. We don't agree on everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And whether what everything they're saying is true or not, of course, is not even the issue. It's just their perspective, you know?
Yes.
Their perspective, just like mine and yours and what have you. You know, we may agree or disagree on some things, pinpointing the enemy with people, but that doesn't mean that we're to be blackballed, as some of these people would do, you know, say that, oh, I heard that on Rick's show, and that's not true, and therefore Rick must be behind it, and he must know what he's doing. He must be sowing disinformation. That's what they'll do.
Yeah.
Just to sow disinformation themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is their game, Don, and you particularly know that.
Yes.
Just because your reach has been so far and wide across the world, and you've reached into the very catacombs of the intelligentsia community and the systems of evil across this planet, the demonic stuff. We're getting into heavy things, you know?
Yeah, and that information is being repressed at every opportunity by those that peddle it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They certainly don't mince words when they are putting out their disinformation, though, do they?
No, they don't. They don't. And like I say, though, you know, you give a guy enough rope and he'll hang himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what these people will do, inevitably, if they haven't already.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to bring that up, not to bellyache so much as to just point out that this is typically what, when a newcomer, you know, to this information comes along,
right.
They hear these mixed stories, you know,
mm-hmm.
They go to these websites, whatreallyhappened.com or about.com. And when one researches who these databases really are, or these websites are really promoted by, one can see that they're intentionally putting out a lot of disinformation, and then it's referred to by the politicians. This is what gets me. They debunk the internet. And yet they come out and say, well, Snopes.com already reported this, and they debunked this story. This cannot be true because that's what they do. Now, Sherrod Brown, congressman, former congressman, now senator from Ohio, recently made such a comment about chemtrails. You know, and you see the chemtrails all over the place, and you've got the Air Force denying that there's any spraying going on. People, use your discernment and just look up in the sky, and you can see these things. So we're also not asking anyone to believe us, but encouraging them to investigate these things for themselves.
Right.
Do some research, right?
Exactly. That's what I was just thinking. That's right. Don't take my word for anything, because I could be wrong. I mean, I don't claim to have all the answers, you know, but I think if people really and truly want to satisfy their curiosity, then look at the evidence and, like the scriptures say, test the fruits. Test the fruits.
Yeah.
Whether they be of God or of Satan.
Yes.
You
well,
know?
Well, Rick, I know you have to get up early in the morning to prepare for your TV show.
Yep.
Do you want to give any information out about that and anything I may have missed?
Well, you know, we're on a local cable access, public access TV station in Rhode Island, and you really have to be a subscriber to one of the providers, you know, Cox or Verizon,
mm-hmm.
to be able to pick it up. You know, we haven't posted anything yet on the websites, but I'd like to do some of that and start getting those things that are the most interesting shows put up. And
mm-hmm.
we certainly would like to do that, but right now, those who are listening, and I know there are listeners in Rhode Island, obviously, they can tune in. And the program times are, you know, on Sundays, Sunday afternoon on the Interconnect, as we call it, Channel 13 Interconnect with Cox, and Verizon, Channel 32, 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Sundays.
And the name of the show?
Excuse me?
The name of the show?
Yes, it's called The Deadly Experiment.
The Deadly Experiment.
Yes, and there's a reason for that, Don, very quickly. because originally, you know, we have this public television station, Channel 36, that came up with a program based on the history of our state called the Lively Experiment. So it's a flip side of that. Uh-huh. We came up with the Deadly Experiment.
Okay.
And it's on Sundays and Thursdays also, 12:30 p.m. on Interconnect.
Well, hopefully. Now, is there a web address that you can give out for that show in case someone wants to...
I'm not aware of any web access to the cable.
Okay.
I think they would have to be a subscriber. Now, I may be wrong, but from what we're told, no. I mean, do you know of any instances where you can just tap in to various local public access programs in any state?
Yeah, actually, there are a few. There is a particular show that I was on.
It has to be on the web, though. It has to be carried on the web.
Yeah, that's what... Well, they can also post the archives for later viewing. That's what I was thinking.
But they don't do that here. We're lucky just to be on the air in Rhode Island.
Yeah, I was on a show once in Seattle called Call for Investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Some colorful characters run that show, but they had come across some of my research and wanted to ask me to come on the show as a guest. And they referred to my research from time to time as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really colorful show.
Right.
Yeah, and
we deal with similar topics we're talking about right now.
Yeah,
on the TV show.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Well, if by any chance they do go online, I'm sure you'll let me know, and I can forward that in.
Oh yeah, by all means.
To the listening audience, because
yes,
anything like what you do on the radio, it'll be very exciting.
Oh yeah, that's what we do. We sometimes use the graphics and, you know, obviously some film footage, and various maybe DVDs. Videotapes, footage. You know, we've done the Bolshevik, showing archival footage of Bolshevism at work. You know, the Bolshevik Reds in Soviet Russia and their genocide and so forth, from BBC footage. And also various other documentaries about what has been done, and, you know, in the past, you know, in American history and things of that sort. So people, you know, sometimes they don't know these things until they see these images, and they have to learn from them, because it's not going to come from the normal channels of the media, that's for sure.
Yes, that's for certain. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show again.
Thank you, Don.
Look forward to having you back again.
Same here on my program. Thank you, and God bless you for your efforts.
Okay, I appreciate it, and I look forward to hearing from you in the near future.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay, folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and tonight's guest, Rick Adams. Also, a few callers. Thanks to Ron from Pennsylvania and Leo from Massachusetts for tuning in and adding to the commentary this evening. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow evening when my special guest will be Mr. Ken Adachi. In the meantime, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.